Hi, Eric. Thanks so much for being on Suitcase Coder, the podcast. I am so excited to have you back. We actually met on a recording of your podcast, Self-Taught or Not, which was very fun to record. So I'm very excited to have you now be a part of my podcast. But I will let you introduce yourself. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you are up to these days?
Sure. I consider myself more of a traditionally taught developer. I went to a four-year college, got a CS degree, but I wear a lot of hats. So I'm a podcaster, as you had mentioned on my podcast, Self-Taught or Not, which I also do with a good friend, Dylan. But I also have written a few books on Vue.js and Ember.js. So I really like the JavaScript frameworks. I'm also a YouTuber. And so that takes up a little bit of time on my channel and program with Eric. And then I'm a full stack software developer at an insurance company, which is also a lot of fun to do as well. So between all those things, it keeps me pretty busy. And I also have a couple of small kids. So you can imagine my days are pretty busy.
That's definitely a lot to keep up with, but that's exciting. And I like that you, and one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have you on is because you did take the traditional route. So I obviously want to ask about just like your experience with the computer science degree, but also how you have kind of evolved and developed yourself beyond that. And all while sticking to, you know, the tech world and the developing world and helping others kind of through that journey as well. So I'm excited to hear your all-encompassing projects. Yeah. So I guess to get started, I would love to ask you about how you got into tech, like even before going to college for computer science. Did you know that you wanted to be a developer?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So way back in my childhood, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. Like I wanted to fly planes, and it was just kind of a fun thing that I always imagined I wanted to do. And I wanted to be in the military. My father was in the military, and so it kind of shaped where I wanted to go.
Right.
Then I found that my eyesight was pretty poor, and being a fighter pilot in the military is quite competitive. And I thought, you know what? I really like science. So then I thought I could be a scientist. And that's what I would tell everyone. You know, when you're a little kid, everybody asks you, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I'm like, I want to be a scientist. And then, you know, as I got farther in my life and hit, when I became a teenager, I just started getting into video games and a lot of boy stuff like that. And I'm like, maybe I can be like a developer or a programmer. I can create games. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as the years roll by, I found out that, everything I hear about game development is really hard. Like they, you know, the cycles are really difficult and it's not super fun. So then I really just looked into web development.
Okay.
And that's sort of where I started off with. I created a few websites back in high school I remember it was like an English assignment. And mm-hmm. instead of turning in the paper, I decided to create a website instead. So I remember just copying. I think I wrote two paragraphs and then I found a design online mm-hmm. and I basically copied the whole website because I had no idea what I was doing. I pasted my two paragraphs of text, which probably had typos, wasn't well written in there. And I just printed out a sheet of paper with a website address and I gave it to my teacher. And he gave me an A, so I guess it worked.
That's but awesome.
Kind of a fun experience back then.
Yeah, that's really cool because I feel like even though you thought you wanted to be, you know, like a pilot essentially from a young age, you still always kind of knew you were thinking about the future even from a young age. You knew you wanted to be a pilot. You found out that wasn't really going to work out. So you kind of moved on to the next thing and you kept moving forward until you did find kind of a niche that worked for you. And I think it's rare to see high school students, at least in my experience, to see high school students even give something like web development a try because it's outside of, I mean, I don't know about you, but or maybe now they do. But at least when I was in high school, they didn't really have computer science classes like they did, but it wasn't a requirement. So I feel like it took a lot of some effort to go out of your way to learn how to create a website, even if you copied it all and turn that in, like that takes some gut and some, just a little bit more than most, I think, high school students really put into high school.
Yeah, it was a fun, it was a trip.
Yeah. So I guess, but I also think that that's a very common way into development, is a lot of gamers, right? So like a lot of people get really interested in games. And I think after a couple years, when the question comes about, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to study? What's a lot of things that they say is like, well, what are you interested in? And a lot of people who are interested in game development, or sorry, gaming, the next step to that, or the possible jobs around that, is to become a game developer. Is that, would you agree with that?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's in a way still a traditional like path, or at least like interests began with gaming and then developed into game developer. And then once you get into that realm, seeing, oh, there's so many other opportunities around development, not just game development. So that's pretty neat. So then you went ahead and you got the computer science degree. I'm so curious about this because I obviously did not graduate with a computer science degree. I graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Languages, which is the furthest thing from computer science that anybody could get. So I'm really curious about the kinds of classes that you took and how much of it was, you know, sitting down and coding a project from beginning to end, and how much of it was theory and logic and maths. If you don't mind kind of sharing that whole experience.
Yeah. So it was interesting. So after high school, I went directly into the computer science program at my local university, University of Nevada, Reno. And I spent 2 semesters there, and I ended up dropping out my first time through. So I did 2 semesters. I really was paying more attention to not paying attention to my studies, just working a part-time job. And after 2 semesters, I think I even failed a class. Like I failed intro to chemistry or something, right? I remember. And I quit that class. And it was kind of tough. I'm like, well, maybe college isn't right for me. So I had maybe a lot of self-doubts a lot of other people get when they first join college or thinking about going to college. And so I went and became a tech support lead at a software company as sort of my fallback on like, well, maybe I won't be a developer, but maybe I can, you know, be a tech lead and, you know, make my way up there through doing tech support, because we had this big call center. And I did that for two or three years. And I was sort of taking classes on the side. I went to community college for a semester or two and like took a handful of classes, some stuff I knew that might transfer over. And then the job I was in, I sort of got it wasn't a demotion, but it was more like they reshuffled everything around. And like at that point, I thought, you know what, maybe I should go back to school and finish my computer science degree, because I'd only had, you know, basically 2 semesters.
Right.
So to answer your question, I just kind of want to fill in everybody that's listening who might be following along with the story. When I finally got to college, I was working 15 hours a week, and I studied and I went to school the rest of the time. And the first couple of years, there was a lot of, I think each college may call it differently. We call it like core curriculum, which is your English classes. We had something called
high school all over again, like your basic high school classes, but at a college level, essentially.
Correct. Yeah. So it's like core curriculum stuff that like the basics you need to know in college. So your English is some basic level of math and sciences, maybe even history class. We had something called Western traditions, which was kind of a fun class where we like learned about things that are happening in our state.
Right.
And then I remember taking like every semester I had like one computer class. So it started off as something like introduction to computer science, I think was the first class. And then it was like data structures. And then there was data structures 2, and then data structures 3. And then there was introduction to programming languages and algorithms. So every single semester, like the first couple of years, there would just be 1 or 2 computer science-y type classes I would have to take. Mm-hmm. And then in my junior and senior year, my last 2 years, that's where it would be a lot heavier load. And that's where I'd learn more of the maybe stuff that I probably use more often today. Like that's where I would take the algorithm type classes, which algorithms help not just with interviews, but it's kind of just gives you that thought process of how you troubleshoot ways and how you look at complexity. And then there's more, there was like capstone classes where we had projects and we created whole applications and we presented it at the end of our class. So I think those kind of really stuck out to me as classes that really helped me in the real world.
Right. So it's interesting because it seems like you spent a lot of time learning the foundations, and then it wasn't until the second half of, you know, your college education that you started actually building out apps and putting all of these things that you had learned into fruition.
That's pretty accurate. I mean, we did learn in our first, even the first semester I took, I know a lot of programs and colleges are based on different languages. I know some, like I think Harvard does Python and MIT does, I think even some of them do Ruby on Rails. Ours was in C++ was like the primary programming language we learned. And it's 'cause that has some like object-oriented programming techniques in it. And it has some basics of learning how to program. So that was like the first language that I learned. But outside the class, I was definitely looking at JavaScript and things like that. And there was also a big emphasis on Java too. So, but when I got to more, to your point, when it was definitely more the senior and juniors and we were in more of those higher level classes, we started creating actual applications. Mm. Like for example, the capstone class I took, we created a music sheet application. So instead of having a music book, which has all your notes in it, we had like an electronic one and we created an electronic stand for it. And the whole app was written in Java and it read like XML files and it displayed it on the screen. And then we had this electric actual mechanical stepper that you can press on the ground that would change the page. Oh, and it was hooked into this notebook. So we it was kind of fun things like that. I know one student in our class redid the like admissions website. Like that was his senior project. So there was, we definitely did get into some more real world applications later on.
Yeah. That's very cool. 'Cause then you get to see these projects and you get to see it from other students too. And I'm sure like the admissions page that was redone, is that something that was applied later on to the actual website or was it left more as a project?
No, I believe he actually worked for the university.
Yeah.
And he was also a student. And so like his senior project just fit into their upgrade of the website. So it would like kind of fit in perfectly for him.
That's pretty cool. So this brings up two questions. Back to when you were talking about the different languages that the different universities do. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what are your thoughts on having an entire university system choose one language mainly to be taught throughout? Is that something that you agree with, or do you think it changes so much? I don't know. What are your thoughts? I guess I'll ask you and then I'll kind of give my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of these classes are taught by professors that have been teaching the same curriculum for the last, you know, 10 plus years, 20 plus years. And it's hard to tell these professors that, hey, you need to teach the latest JavaScript framework every semester. I mean, these guys would never do it. Like this is what they know and what they teach. I think I even heard a story like this, our university used to teach ANSI C, which is like the very first version of C. And it took them a big push to push everyone to teach C++. So I think that's kind of a detriment in some ways, but in other ways, I think that you want to teach concepts. You don't want to teach frameworks. You don't want to teach like particular programming languages, because the idea is even if you learn something like C++, which, you know, nowadays is usually mostly in like embedded development and some banks and things like that still use C++, but it's not like a common web framework that we hear about every day. But it's the assumption that if you could learn a programming language like that and learn the concepts. Like, there's going to be algorithms, there's going to be variables, there's going to be loops, there's going to be data structures, and these things are going to be the same in every programming language you can learn, then you should be able to apply it to JavaScript or apply it to whatever you're learning. And it should be a much quicker ramp up to learn those new frameworks or languages. But I certainly hope that I went to university over 10 years ago. Well, not a little less than 10 years. I hope that they've updated the curriculum by now, but I don't know. I think it's a little outdated, and that's kind of a detriment for colleges.
Right. That does, it brings up a good point though, because like obviously the comparison is either to teach yourself or to go through boot camp. And, you know, I feel like there's more routes coming up here or there. And that's definitely something that your podcast covers, right? The difference between going a traditional computer science route, boot camp, being self-taught and all that. But I think, I guess that the difference that I'm seeing now talking to you is that boot camps really do cover kind of the latest and greatest to get you a job. Like that's a very straightforward path in teaching you just the most recent tools and being able to build like the minimum things to be able to apply to a job. And then hopefully at the job you like continue learning, right? I feel like that's the idea behind that. Whereas university, it's way more about learning how to think and learning the logics that you'll need. And once you have that kind of embedded in your brain, like you're saying, you can apply that to any language. So at the end of the day, I guess if you're going through the university, because you're learning all of those foundations, it really doesn't matter which language you end up learning, whether it's Python or Ruby on Rails or C++, whatever, because you have the foundations. So it's almost like you learn to apply those foundations to whatever language rather than learning the language and trying to apply that to everything you do.
I will say one note on that is that there's usually there's a handful of elective classes that universities have. Mm. And typically some of those are taught by grad students that work for the university. And sometimes they offer those kind of newer, cooler JavaScript framework type classes. Like I remember taking a Python class, but it was taught by a TA. Mm-hmm. So you can, some universities do have electives where you could probably take a React class or a introduction to web development class or something like that. Yeah, just normally it's not the full curriculum though.
Right. And it's not like you can't learn it once. It's not like you're stuck in your ways once you learn one language. It's definitely out there. You just have to kind of seek it out and look for it. And even if you don't learn it in university, you can always continue learning outside of courses and curriculum, which is kind of my second question to you, is you mentioned that you were dabbling a bit in JavaScript outside of university. So how much of, how much coding did you do like just for fun or side projects or something as you were learning?
I didn't really get into as many side projects as I am in the last few years than I was back then. I think I was pretty busy. I had worked at a company that I was doing tech support while I was going to school. And then I had transferred over to a internship at that company. So I was learning Java and some JavaScript during that internship for the last maybe year and a half of my college at the same time. And I thought that was a really great experience because I was learning, you know, a lot of fundamentals of computer science at school, but then I had a real world application in my internship where I had to connect to these older ASP.NET systems, and I was learning XML and XML transformations, and it was a hard internship and it was hard balancing both. Mm. But that really helped me, and that was not really a side project, but that was something kind of just drove me. Also, I just want to make a note there that if you are listening and you're going to university, really, really try to get into those summer internships. There's so many companies. Now it's a little different with COVID, but there's so many companies that offer internships and they love to work with computer science students. And it can be a real resume booster to say, hey, I worked for Microsoft over the summer, or I worked for a big Fortune 500 company over the summer.
Right. No, and I think that's a good point. I think I definitely didn't take advantage of that, even though I wasn't in computer science classes. I feel like a lot of people use their summers as like, it's finally me time. I can go lay by the pool and do what I want. But if you really look at those summers as opportunities and time to to go build your skills up so that when you do leave college or when you do leave wherever you're learning, you can kind of come out like at a level higher than you would have if you hadn't taken those opportunities to find yourself an internship or even like freelance on the side, just something that would continue to build your skills up outside of what your peers will kind of graduate with as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good point. And that kind of brings me to my next point, which is leaving your degree. You were obviously interning, and that was probably, like you said, hard, but worth it. Was it difficult for you to find the first job coming out of college? Is it what you expected? Was it difficult? What was your experience with that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize that you needed to study for your interviews for the field we're in back then. I mean, as obvious as that sounds now, you really do have to study. So I remember graduating, the internship that I had ended, and I was kind of looking for my first job. Mm-hmm. And I applied at a place, and I remember going through, it was called General, I think it was GE. I'll just shout it out. But it was an all-day interview. I met with 4 different teams. I had a whiteboard, sketch out an app, which I thought I did okay on. Mm-hmm. And then they wanted me to sketch out like a SQL database, which I had never done before. And then I had lunch with I remember having lunch with everyone. And I remember I realized halfway through the interview that I had not done very well because everybody was talking around me, but no one was talking to me. And I was like, this is a little awkward in the middle of my interview. And then I think the last interview was with HR. And I don't know if this was me or whatnot. I told them like, hey, I created this app. I told him what my senior project was. He's like, he was really excited. And then I thought maybe I had recovered through the interview. And then I just got ghosted. And I had to literally send 3 emails to them before they finally got back to me and said, yeah, you didn't get it.
Oh, no.
So I remember that was like one of my first interviews out of college. And so, to answer your question, it wasn't easy.
Okay. Yeah. And I feel like that's so, it can almost feel like degrading when you go through the trouble, even if, you know, you didn't study, you didn't know, I'm sure you learned from that experience, but going through the process of interviewing and having it be a full day thing and going out to lunch with them, like that's degrading to not even have the decency to say, hey, sorry, you didn't get it. And it can almost like discourage you from applying to your next job, which is not something that you should do. You should definitely just keep trying. But yeah, it's definitely difficult for, I guess anybody getting started. There's no really easy way to get through the interview process. Which brings me to another question is, would you have any tips, or have you been in the position of hiring other junior developers?
Yeah. So I think I've learned a lot from that experience from back then. I mean, after to kind of finish that story a little bit, and to your point, I definitely felt like, wow, what did I do wrong? Like I had like a little chip on my shoulder for a week or two. I'm like, you know what, you know, screw them. Like, why didn't they pick me? And I really took it personally because I thought I should have gotten it. But, you know, looking back after a while, I was like, yeah, you know, I wasn't prepared enough. I didn't come with what I need. So I guess the first tip I would say, and I have interviewed quite a few developers since then. Okay. And one thing is just being a little bit more prepared. Like literally, if I'm interviewing a new web developer, I might ask them some basic questions. Like, can you tell me what CSS specificity is? Mm-hmm. Do you know what is a CSS selector? What is an ID selector? I mean, really basic CSS questions, like literally the easiest CSS questions I can find.
Right.
And it's funny that someone with 10 or 20 years of experience, sometimes they really struggle with that. And just because they just didn't realize or didn't just do a little bit of preparation before the interview and just kind of look up some basic things. Like, I know these people could probably do the job, but if you don't do like the minimum amount of preparation and do a little bit of studying, I don't care if you have 100 years of experience, you still need to study a little bit. Like, just know the basics to answer these questions.
Right.
And
Sorry.
That's important.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's such a good point because I feel like as junior developers, a lot of times we interview so much and we just came off of learning everything, right? So you spend so much time preparing and everything and you feel like you still don't cover everything, but it's good to hear that no matter what level you're at, everybody should kind of go through the same process of at least getting prepared for the interview. And sometimes it's those simple questions that can trip somebody up because you know it's so simple, but being able to talk about it calmly and just stop and think, okay, CSS, I know CSS, like the back of my hand. Okay, then go ahead and explain it rather than just walk in a little too confidently, which I guess is opposite than you hear from most advice, which is walk in with confidence, but you also don't want to think you know everything going into an interview.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say the first step is just do like some, learn the basics of whatever you have, you know, you're interviewing for. If it's a CSS, JavaScript, web development role, make sure you can talk intelligently about those common CSS and JavaScript questions that are out there. And if you don't know what those are, I'll give a shout out to my buddy Dylan. He has a course on Udemy called like the 100 interview challenge. If you go through the 100 interview challenge, that'll give you more than the basics of like what questions you'll see in a normal, like typical web development interview. I guess another tip would be to, if you don't know something, say you don't know. I mean, obviously don't try to just kind of make it up.
That was going to be my next question is how do you handle answering questions that you really don't know even like where to start? Is it better to fake it till you make it or just be upfront and say, I haven't covered this? Like, what's the best way to go about questions like that?
I would say you would need to tell them, you know, I don't know, but I would say, I don't know, but, and then tell them what you do know. Like maybe you don't know the exact answer, but you can tell them something related to that.
Okay.
And usually interviewers are nice enough to kind of lead you in the right direction. I've done that with candidates and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But sometimes if you just tell them what you do know, that's helpful. Realize though, if you're saying, I don't know a whole bunch during the interview, like you're probably not going to get it because that's right. Usually a red flag. One or two questions you don't know, that's fine.
Right.
10 questions you don't know, you're going to have a problem.
And that should also be an indicator for the person applying is knowing the kinds of jobs that you're applying to. You should gauge and what kinds of jobs you're trying to apply for. All right. Well, I think that really covers it. Is there anything that you would want to share with everyone? Any tips, advice on anybody getting started?
Getting started with web development
mm-hmm.
in particular? There's just so many great resources like this podcast, like Free Code Camp. I think like there's no excuse nowadays if you want to become a developer. Like there's so many resources out there and so many great places like this that can give you motivation and that you just kind of to do it. I would also find a buddy that you can kind of work with that maybe if you both work together with joining a book coding bootcamp or somewhere where you have a community of people that are going to push you. That's important too.
Yeah, that's a really good point is finding that community and knowing that I feel like once you do find that community, you really start to realize that the internet's out there with so many people who are willing to help and reaching that out. So I will definitely link your podcast and your Facebook group and everything in the show notes. Is there anything else that you'd like to include for others to be able to reach you at?
No, that's fine. Yeah, you can reach me at EricCH on Twitter. It's with a K, E-R-I-K-C-H. Or you can reach me, just go to eric.video and it'll pop up my YouTube site. You can take a look at me there.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Eric, for being a guest on my podcast. It was a blast talking to you again. And yeah, thanks for being on here.
Thank you.